in his life.
This is out of character for me, but a number of people, the prayer team, and a number of people have been praying for me over the past couple months, and over health concerns that I have. Earlier in the year, I had some blood work done, and my PSA level, which is an indicator of your prostate, was higher than the highest number. The high number is 4. Mine was at 4.2. So my primary care doctor recommended that I go see a urologist. I went to see Dr. Kevin Bordeaux, St. Clair, and he examined my prostate and said that it wasn't enlarged, but he wanted me to have additional blood work done. And because I had had rectal cancer the year before, he wanted an MRI performed. So I went and had the blood work done. It came back. My PSA had lowered. And then I went and had the MRI done. The MRI came back, and the prostate was okay, but the radiologist picked up an abnormality on my bladder. And he recommended that Dr. Bordeaux do a visual inspection to see what that might be. I went to Dr. Bordeaux's office. He visually inspected my bladder, and he wasn't absolutely certain what it was. He had an idea, but he couldn't say for sure. So he recommended that I have a biopsy on my bladder. On September 15th, which was 2 Fridays ago, I went to St. Clair Hospital. I had the biopsy on my bladder, and Dr. Bordeaux said, you know, it would be a few days before he would have the results. I talked to Dr. Bordeaux on Tuesday, and praise the Lord, negative for malignancy. I thank everybody for praying for me.
Good. No, thank you, Kevin, for sharing. And there are more of those stories that we all have experienced in our own lives at certain points, and it's just encouraging to hear about them. We talked about, actually, just kind of an aside, I won't talk too much, we talked about discouragement this morning in our Digging Deeper class, and one of the main issues with discouragement is loneliness. And so by sharing these and seeing how God's working in other people, hopefully you can all get some encouragement from that. I want to go ahead and open us in prayer, and then we'll get started. Father God, we thank you for the days that you give us. They are numbered, but we know that they have purpose and meaning, and you've brought us all here together today to learn something, and hopefully what Don and I have prepared is not what we desire, but what you've given us, and that those in this room today can get something from that. We pray that you'll be with Herb, that he will be able to minister to those he's with in Michigan. And we thank you so much for Kevin's praise that has happened. Thank you for giving him the willingness to share and the humility to see that it was your working and not the doctor's and not his working either, that it was you in his life. Lord, may you be praised by what we do today. Amen.
If I can just add, Kevin and I were talking beforehand. He's a living example of what we were talking about in Digging Deeper, where two or more are gathered in his name. He is in their presence, and he thanked you all for prayer. He came up in your midst to thank the Lord, and that's a living example. He wasn't afraid, nervous, but not afraid. He told me he was nervous, and he humbled himself. It was transparent, and he shared it with all of us because we all have tribulation. Speak, O wizard.
So today, you're going to get the wisdom or the lack thereof from two people instead of one. Yeah, basically, Don and I, our ratings were not high enough to do an individual, so we're combining our ratings together. Anyways, today, we are going to try something different, and rather than having one person up here talking, we're going to have two, and we're going to hopefully build on each other's strengths to bring you a little word about obedience. So, Shannon, you going to start us off?
Toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Listen.
Okay, what?
Like everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
No, but listen to me. Look at, if you do something, if you get that out, that bird thing off, you're going to break it.
Okay, but I'm asking, I'm letting you know
but
that you cannot.
You know, Linda,
no,
Linda, I'm. Look it, look it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda,
listen to me now.
Listen
to me now.
Listen to me.
No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma.
Linda,
didn't you?
Linda, lick it, lick it, lick it. If you do something right out this, if you get close, you can't even get them. You're going to burn your butt.
What's going to burn your butt? No. You and Kevin don't listen, so I have to give both of you guys pawpaws in your butt.
But Linda, but Grandpa's going to give you pawpaws in the butt.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I have to, you don't want me to hit Kevin, or you don't want him to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
Then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little pop-ups.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this. Right now, you can't do anything if you can't get everything out of the wall.
So listening and obeying are what we're going to talk about today. And when Dawn brought this topic to my attention, I thought, this is easy. I do this every day with trying to get Jaden to listen and obey, right? So I'm a pro at this. And obviously, we have to have a class because I'm not a pro. And we're not going to talk about parenting. So I'm going to do my best to not talk about parenting and do that type of thing today. What Dawn's here is to make sure that we're talking about our listening and obeying towards Christ, right? Because that's something we all deal with every single day. Obedience is this weird thing, and we're going to talk about this. It's actually easy, even though it seems hard. And that's what we're going to speak on today. We're going to be using John chapter 14 throughout the service today. So if you want to turn to that, it's also in your bulletin, I believe, in the insert. I'm going to go ahead and read John chapter 14 to kind of start us out. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. But Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been with you, among you for all this long time, anyone who has seen me has also seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe me on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, and may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On the day you realize that I am in my Father and that you are in me. A lot of I am in him, you are in me. We'll get to that. But whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the Prince of the world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let's leave. So this scripture is kind of like the epilogue to Christ's life here on earth, back when he was here in his human form, 14, 15, and 16. You know, prior to this, he had lived his life. You see the miracles that he'd done. The disciples have been with him, and now he's looking forward to the cross. And so this is the largest section in the Gospels that talks about that discussion, that coaching he's giving to the disciples for the last time before they're separated before the cross, right? So I call it the epilogue of Christ. And he makes a point here a couple of times about obedience. And each time he ties it together with the idea of love, right? So obedience shows love. Well, what's interesting, though, about this scripture, and Don's going to kind of elaborate on this, is he doesn't actually say what to obey except commands.
Right. What David just read, and there's a lot there, I would suggest you read it again. But let's go back to the beginning where God defers to the beginning. We know of God. We trust God, we think. We love God. But in two verses, Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and I'll read. It says, after being baptized, this is at Bethabara with John the Baptist, Christ went through his physical baptism as a good Jew would do. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God. Remember the dove? The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. That's the power of heaven coming down. The Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him, boom, on his shoulders. So now he's got the Spirit of God plugged in on the outside. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, I can't be God. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He announced that to a lot of people. Look, you know of me. Look who I'm sending to thee with the Holy Spirit to help you through this world, to be obedient. Now, there's another verse, Matthew 17, 5. Let me find it. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. There's Christ, the Son of Man, with the Holy Spirit, the power of God, come to earth. Listen to him. And as David read in the devotional this morning, which was great, I mean, leave it to the Holy Spirit to come up with obedience. We're reflecting. Christ reflected the will and the way and the power of God in his life, and he gives it to us that we be reflectors or bearers of that light. It's not us that's the light. You had a cup of tea there. That cup by itself was, but the tea that's in it, if you never drink it, David, you'll miss the blessing. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We all have that opportunity to receive that Holy Spirit and all of the knowledge of the Word of God that we can be obedient.
So yeah, so the Word of God is the command. So Christ had spent 3 years prior teaching and helping them understand what God wanted them to do. We can kind of summarize that, right, with the Ten Commandments in a way, okay? But he kind of summarizes that from the Ten Commandments down to the two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, right? You know, those two. And then even further, what he goes on to in this epilogue is that we just need to accept him in our salvation. And then if you look at Matthew 28, we see that those 10 that are now two because Christ is here and he's summarized them for us now becomes go out and teach what I've told you. So we have essentially all of this knowledge. And, you know, today we could go on, obviously, all day, which I'm not going to let Don do.
Wendy didn't order dinner.
Talking about what all these commands are, but they're there, right? And Herb's talked about these many a times. What we're going to talk about from here on out is not so much what those commands are, but saying we got to obey them, right? We got to do them, whether it mean going out and spreading our faith, whether it mean living the Ten Commandments, whether it mean just loving other people, et cetera, et cetera. All of those commands are what we're supposed to obey. Now, as a parent, I know that it's not so easy to get my son to obey, okay? Lately, we've been struggling with, when you get no, what's the proper response, okay? Not weeping and wailing. But, Dad, I want that piece of candy. Jaden, it's not that tough. You know, you might get it in a couple hours, just not right now, but the weeping and wailing happens, all right? It just seems so difficult. And if we look at John 14, the disciples had a similar perspective towards this obedience. Now, it's not that they said, oh, it's so tough to live your commands, but what they said multiple times, and we're going to look here at one in a moment, is we'd rather just have you here.
Right.
Which Jaden would much rather me go get the candy for and give it to him. He would much rather me take his dish to the to the sink. He would much rather me make his bed. He would much rather me dress him, take him to the bathroom, et cetera, et cetera. The disciples have that same perspective here. So in verse 5, we see that Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? He was seeing it from a physical standpoint. Now, Christ was looking at it a spiritual standpoint of, I'm going to go to heaven, and you're going to follow me, and we're talking about life at a later point. Thomas was saying, how can we physically stay with you? We like it, and it's easy. It's easy to obey you whenever you're here, because Christ would tell them what to do. And they go do it, and when they messed up, Christ would fix it. Or Christ would just be showing them what to do.
We have a great example in our society now, especially our Western society, of this. Many, not all, but many, many, many young people who are in college right now are coddled. Their parents haven't let go, and they haven't let go of the parents. Have the parents taught them properly? I don't know. I can't answer that. But Jesus did. And still they had that innate fear, like, where are you going? Stay with us. We need you. I mean, he proved over and over again that he would care for them, like, you know, the calming of the sea and pulling Peter out of the water, etc. But this example that I see, are they ready to go off into the world? Because Christ knew in Matthew 28, the Great Commission was coming. Look, guys, you have to be prepared, and I'm giving you everything. And we didn't get to that part yet, and I won't jump ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you everything to prepare you for your life here. But guess what? This isn't your home. You're going to my Father's house, where I'm going eventually to prepare a place for you. Let me just add this. When I was in the Army and I was transferred around the world, we would have an address of where we were, but we had a home of record. And that was back here in Pennsylvania for me. That was my home of record, okay, where I was to come back to. My home of record is in heaven, and so is every believer in this room. So what's the hang up here? Mm-hmm. We want to hang to that which is familiar. Hang on to the skirt or pants of our parents as they wanted to hold on to Christ. And he said, I'm teaching you. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that they're to go. And when they grow old, they will not depart from the way. Now, did he put an age on that, David? Not at all. We're babes in Christ when we start out. So we have to learn the will of God through Jesus Christ and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We have these flash drives, right? They have all this knowledge or music or what. You plug it in, and what do you have? You have a lot of stuff. You plug in the Holy Spirit. Watch what happens.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting. My wife and I just finished rewatching The Matrix not long ago, and those of you that have seen it know that. Now, I'm not saying it's wonderful, but it has interesting attributes. And one of the things that I would love to be able to do is upload abilities. if you remember it, you know, you just plug in the drive, they would upload the information, and they could immediately do whatever was uploaded to their brains. That would make it easy, kind of like those flash drives, but that's not what life is like, right?
No,
instead,
not at all.
We live in a world of, scientific thought that says, objects at rest like to stay at rest. Objects in motion like to stay in motion.
Inertia.
And the same goes for us as individuals, right? Our human nature doesn't want us to improve. It doesn't want to obey. It wants to do what we're doing and not really worry about much else.
Right.
And the disciples are experiencing that same thing through this chapter 14. Same thing. So, he gives them the basic command to obey what he had commanded, which, again, 10 commandments down to 2. Then we get the one, which is basically go, preach the gospel and accept it yourself. Then we hear that and we say, all right, it's difficult. I don't really want to. This has got to be hard. Yes, okay, I love God. I guess I'll do it. Well, what's interesting here is Christ doesn't leave them with the idea of command and that's it,
no.
Right? He doesn't just do that. So, if I can throw in my son, again, he weeps and wails. I'm not really glorifying him. Let's just say it that way. Whenever we've been trying to teach him of how to get proper responses, lately he's been coming to me or to my wife, mainly to me is when this happens. And, hey, Dad, I really want a piece of candy. Really want one. And I'll say no, and he will weep and wail. All right? I'll mainly say no based upon either the time of day or the way he asks it. So, I could be a bad dad and just say no and leave it at that, which sometimes I am. But other times, I'll kind of coach him. And we're going to get to how this works with Scripture, but I'll say, all right, Jaden, we're going to learn how to do this right with your mom. Now, this might be a little manipulative, but I think it works pretty well. So, all right, Jaden, here's what we're going to do. We are going to go up to your mom. You're going to give her a big hug and a smile, and you're going to look her in the eyes. You're going to say, Mom, may I have a piece of candy? Now, I'm going to tell you, she will probably say no. I do not want you to weep and wail, though, Jaden. What I want you to do is I want you to say, can I have it later? And see what happens. And I coach him through that. I'm not leaving him out there just to obey and that's it, right? I'm giving him a command, asking him to obey, but then also helping him work through it.
Right. Weeping and wailing, a little child not getting candy now. Think of it. It's biblical because when down the road at the judgment, when someone doesn't get their way and be with the Almighty God, they're going to weep and wail for eternity. And that's what this message is leading to. Obedience, doing God's will, is leading to salvation for the world. And we're the workers. We're the hands and feet of Christ. That's what he was teaching. And before he got to Matthew 28, the go, God has a way of repeating himself all through Scripture. The first example I can think of is Abram, when he was Abram and not Abraham, in the land of Ur of the Chaldees, when God said to him, go to a land that I will show you. Leave your father's house, take your family, and go. Now, he didn't give him a GPS, a map, or anything. He told him to go. Along the way, he straightened out his path, and then he showed him the promised land, which, as born-again believers, we're partakers of that land. We're grafted in. John 15 talks about that. But it is preparing to go. He took his family, got everything, made some boo-boos, but that's okay. God has a way of dealing with us. But he says, go, obedience. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to guess that the disciples, and I do it, and we all do it, like, do I really want to do that? Did they really want to go? And we can see this fighting, but we know the end of the story in the book of Acts. But it is preparing, and so God gives it to us, and so the Holy Spirit led Dave and I to come to this message called obedience. Obedience is God's love in action. Every command of God is an action. Love is an action. Mercy is an action. Forgiveness is an action. Obedience, that's what we're talking about today. That is an action. That's God's love in action. To go. Like, again, when I joined the Army, I was telling Sue the other day, was down here in Pittsburgh, and they made me raise my right hand. I took the oath, and they said, you're now a soldier in the United States Army. Gosh, I had the same clothes. I looked the same. I was scared. I was tired. But in the course of the next couple of months, 6 months or whatever it was, man, I looked different, I felt different, and I was prepared to do something. And they kept training me over the next couple of years. That's the example. God said to these disciples, you are my helpers, my workers, and I'm going to teach you that, and I'm going to teach you to fear not, to trust the Lord.
So just with Jaden and me helping him, you know, Christ did the same thing for his disciples. Yeah, he'd lived an example for them for three-ish years. He had kind of come alongside them and done things with them. He encouraged them to try it themselves, and many times they just failed. And Christ, though, here at the very end, is not just saying, obey, and that's it. You know, go off and do this stuff, and that's it. He actually spends a tremendous amount of this scripture talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one that changes that difficulty of obedience into an easy task. Now, does it mean there's no trials? Does it mean it's not going to take any energy? No, but it's easier. It is much, much easier because we have the Holy Spirit with us. And the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. He is the being beside us that is Christ. They're one and the same, that's helping us do these things. Now, there's three in particular attributes of the Holy Spirit that make this whole process of getting us to obey a little easier.
Right. Before I get to those, in John 16:7, as Christ is talking to the disciples, and whatever he said in the word to the disciples, put your name in there because he's talking to you. He's talking to each of us personally. So in John 16:7, I'll read it. Christ said, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. What? For if I do not go away, the helper, spelled with a capital H, spiritual. It's biblical. It's God Almighty in the spirit come to earth. The helper will not come to you. Wow. But if I go, I will send him, capital H again, to you. So now we're promised. Let me go. And the helper's coming to plug in that flash drive or whatever you call it. So the three aspects as listed in John 14:16, 14:26, and 14:27 is the helper, as the teacher in 26, and as the peace giver in 27, and I'll elaborate. The helper, he teaches us, he gives us the knowledge of the Word of God. Who wrote the Word of God? I know, 40 writers, 40 old men, people tell you. Well, Jeremiah wasn't old when he started writing. Okay, and I'm not sure of the others, but the Holy Spirit indwelt and breathed the Word of God as he breathed into Adam's nostrils. He breathed the Word of God through 40 writers over 1,500 years. And there is a theme that runs through the Bible that says it's God's love story to his creation, to those that he loves, us. Because when he created us on the sixth day, he said, it is very good. Ooh, cool. And so he's not going to leave us alone. And he gives us the knowledge. So he says, look, if you come and ask, what's in here? What do I need to know? And he will teach you through Bible studies, preaching, messages on the radio, CDs, on TV, you know, get together, fellowship. EJ and I have gotten together and spent a little bit of time together, right? No, a lot of time. It's been good. But we get together and we share his word. When we ask for his guidance, we get it. And we get the knowledge of the word of God. Okay, so now you have this knowledge, right? So then you say, okay, well, all right, I understand that. What do I do with it? Then he gives you, as the teacher, he gives you the understanding of how to apply that. You know, I heard David Jeremiah once talking about someone flipped the Bible open, just helter-skelter, and it said, Judas went out and hung himself. Ooh, don't like that one. Flips the Bible over again. It said, go and do likewise. What? Flips another and said, do it quickly. You know, that's not how you read and study the Bible to get understanding of the scripture. It fits every situation that comes up. And God's not up there and, oh, my God. No, be peaceful. He gives you the knowledge of it. He gives you the understanding of it. And when you have that understanding of the Word of God, now the peace giver comes. When the prodigal son shows up and the father puts the robe on him, that kid was at peace finally. Because he went through, we don't know how long, he went through a terrible time. For a Jewish boy to be in a pigsty is a bad, bad thing. And so when the father robed him, that was like the robes of righteousness that God Almighty through Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, does to us. Not on our own. That kid said, I'll go and be a slave. I'll work in my father's field. Dad said, oh no, you're one of mine. He put a robe on him. With the wisdom that, man, am I blessed. And I'm at peace. I'm in my father's house. And where did Christ say we're going? He was going to prepare a room for us in my father's house. Do you know what heaven is like? Go look in Revelation 19. It describes just the foundation and not the decoration. Ladies, you're going to have a chance to decorate. And there's you know, unlimited expenses. It's good. So
unlimited funds, not
funds. Thank you for correcting me. Whatever. But the helper gives us the knowledge of the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God, and the wisdom and the peace to know that this isn't me. I have some neat comments said to me at times about the Word, and there's only one answer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because it is him through me. If I didn't fall flat on my face a bunch of years ago and called out to God and didn't give myself to him to lead me through this, I couldn't be here explaining this in this lighthearted. I'm not a scholar, but I am a believer. And so the wisdom, when someone challenges me, and they do it all the time, that's okay. Because I know it's not me speaking back to them. It's the Holy Spirit.
And it doesn't just end, right, with the teaching and the knowledge, right? So then we go out and we have the understanding of how to apply it. We apply it and the Holy Spirit's still there with us. That's the kind of cool thing. It's like kind of going to go get your PhD, you have 10 scholars with you, and then you go out and practice and those 10 scholars just kind of follow you around, right? They're helping you through the whole process. Not even like they're there to say, hey, should I do this or not? They're like, you know, they're there saying, you know, what should I write for this paper? And they provide the paper. I mean, the Spirit is with you the whole time helping you through it. So he teaches us, gives us that peace, that the understanding. He helps us through the actual circumstance itself. And then beyond that, he gives us peace that it's going to turn out okay. Yeah. I don't know if you all have had those encounters with people where you might share your faith, or maybe you're just, you know, just talking with them and you're like, I don't know if this is going so hot. I don't think it's going so well. It's okay, because if you're doing and what the Spirit wants you to do and you're acting in his will and his guidance, you don't have to worry about the outcome.
Amen. That's a point that a lot of Christians get hung up on. It's like, I've got to save this person. I've got to. No, you don't. Doesn't say anywhere in the Word of God that you have to save them. It says you have to do the will of God. I was a truck driver for a long time. I hauled many products. I had no idea what was in some of the trailers. They were sealed. But my job was to take it from here to there. Go. Right? Mm-hmm. And someone there did something with whatever product was in there. The product in us is the Word of God. It's the will of God. And he said, I want you to take it to somebody and I'll tell you who. And I'll tell you, if I don't want you to share your pearls among swine, but I will tell you. And so we don't have to get hung up with, I really don't want to talk to that person. I don't like them. Okay. But pray about it. If God wants you to have an encounter with them, remember he said, peace be still and know that I am God. Oh, David, you and I aren't God. Mm-hmm. But it's that peace that comes from the wisdom to know that you have it. He's there. He's showing you. He's guiding you. A D8 bulldozer doesn't run itself. It's got an operator. It's got a Holy Spirit telling it which way to go and what to do. other than that, it's an inanimate object. It just makes a lot of noise. You want to be a noisemaker? God speaks to that, a clanging gong. Or do you want to be an obedient servant? I want to be an obedient servant.
So while this really hits home to evangelism, remember that the Ten Commandments became two that are now one. Evangelism, yep, is kind of that one. You still got the others up there, right? And they lead into it. And so this applies to evangelism in a big, yeah, way, but it also applies to the day-to-day obedience of forgiving people,
yeah,
not lying, right? Being faithful to your spouse, not committing adultery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all of them. And I think what's interesting is people look at the Bible and they say, how intimidating is the first half, the Old Testament? I know it's not quite half, but, you know, the first part of it. Because it's all these rules, regulations, and neat stories. It's kind of the summarized version. And it's just intimidating to think about that there's all this stuff you got to do. Well, you don't have to do it. God's already covered that. You don't have to worry about following it in order to be a believer. We've talked about that before. But at the same degree, we don't even have to worry about following it to the extent where we need to be worried day to day that we follow the right rules, because the Spirit's there and He's going to help you learn how to make it part of your life, right?
You're right.
Give you peace that's going to happen.
Because Jesus said He came to fulfill the Ten Commandments, not to do away with them. So He completed them. On your own, you can never keep up with the Ten Commandments. You can't. But how do you walk through life obeying the Ten Commandments? Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, I need you. Sidle right up to Him because He's with you. And that is how you complete the Ten Commandments that have not been done away with. You'll hear people say, oh, that's Old Testament. Really, go read the whole book. It was only man that said Old and New Testament. It's God that said it's one word. And so He fulfills it. So don't get hung up on these things. Don't get hung up. Be obedient. Oh, there's that word again, Dave. Be obedient. Because if you try to share the Word of God with someone that thinks that you're just as bad as they are, are they going to listen to you? Are you going to be reflective of the Son, S-O-N? I heard a great message from a friend of mine, a pastor from down the Bentleyville area some years ago. He said, you should live your life in such a way that when people see you, they should say, what is it that you have that I need? And you don't even have to dump on them or slap them upside the head. They see your lifestyle. They see the joy. They see the peace in your life, right? And it's like, why does He have it and I don't? Guess what? God said I got it. He saved the world. John 3:16 talks of that, right? He saved the whole world. Now you tell me who's not in the world. I can't. They're all God's beauty.
So when Herb comes back and he says, what did you learn? Here's what I need you to remember. God calls us to obedience. It seems difficult, but the Spirit makes it easy. That's what we're here to learn about today, and hopefully we've seen through John 14.
Can I end?
You can end. I'll let you do that.
Okay. Three other verses that I absolutely love. Philippians 4:13. Because when you put this on, you go out and say, oh, those two were up. They had the Bible in front of them. It's easy. Philippians 4:13 is one of my favorite verses. And Mick, you saw it on Josh Harrison's shirt today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you embrace Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. I used to hear this thing about a Chinese restaurant. With wonton soup, you get something else. With Christ, you get the Holy Spirit, the power of heaven on earth. In you. Yeah, in you. So now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But do I have what I need? Oh, go to Philippians 4:19, another favorite verse. Paul, the Apostle Paul says, my God, meaning his God, and we know he was awesome, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. I love to ask this whenever I teach or preach. Can someone give me a dollar figure of the riches in heaven? Nope. God speaks, it is. If He thought you needed $10,000, he could speak and it would be there. Now, I don't call on God for what I want. I ask for what are my needs, and only he knows what they are, and I can assure you he provides them. And then I'm going to, in Philippians 3, 12 to 14, I have to read this. Just give me a second to find it. I'm not as up like Herb is on these things. I usually fly off the handle. Let's see. Bev taught me GEP, right? You're not going anywhere, are you? Philippians. What? Okay. Here we go. Pressing toward the goal, right? We have a goal. We have to go into the world. Paul says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Paul? Yeah. But I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Wait a minute. Christ grabbed me, we know, Damascus Road, and Christ will grab you. Right? Don't let him knock you off a horse if that's what happened to Paul. But I was laid hold of by Christ. Brethren, it's all of us, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, this is important, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Heaven. He promised it. Heaven. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So press on, brothers and sisters. Press on toward the goal to go to heaven and share as much as you are called to share, that many, many, many would join you in heaven. Would join you in heaven. And that's Paul, who knew. He was a top student, but he missed one thing, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't miss it. And allow him to work through your life. Because Paul said, hey, I could be content in any situation. I've been poor, I've been beat, I've been killed, you know, and I've been rich, and I'm good with it. And he walked to his death, as did Moses, and he was happy. He's with the Lord.
Would you close in prayer?
Yeah. I will. Father God, we thank you that you've given us this day, this time, this place, this word, your Son, your Holy Spirit. And we know that you give us your love and you want us to act on that love, because love is an action. And we just thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that each and every one of us would go from here knowing how you love us, how you enable us, and how you want to use us, that we would be obedient to your will, your way, and your word. I thank you, praise you, and love you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Good.